You are listening to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White. UCSB is embarking on a major project to turn 63 acres of a former golf course back into publicly accessible wetlands. The restoration goal has been years in the making and will soon be at the point when shovel-ready work can actually get underway. Lisa Stratton is the UCSB Cheadle Center for Biological and Ecological Restoration, Director of Ecosystem Management, and joins us now to describe the project itself, how we got to this point, and why project leaders are still hoping to hear from local residents on the matter. Welcome to Issues and Ideas, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Terrific. Thank you. And let's start with a little history of the site itself. In the mid-1960s, this land was filled with soil, if I understand correctly, to create the Ocean Meadows Golf Course.
That's right. Yeah, before the Clean Water Act and the Coastal Act came into effect.
And so then it operated as a golf course for many years. At what point did the idea float up that the golf course land could be reverted back to its natural state?
I'd say originally some members of the Audubon Society back in the late 90s first sort of saw some of the historical, what they call T-sheets, the topographic sheets done by the USGS. And that sort of led to the golf course being included in the Elwood Devereaux open space that was preserved in 2004 through a huge collaborative effort between UCSB, the city of Goleta, and the county. So that was probably one of the first groups to see the potential of restoring the estuary. And then in 2000, the Bren School of Environmental Studies at UCSB, the students actually did a study looking at the opportunities and the costs and get into details. And that formed the basis of us going out and seeking funding to actually acquire the golf course in the, like, about 2010.
2010. So did you get it at a good price then?
Yeah, it was a prime time to talk to the landowner about whether the golf course was actually viable anymore. That it was good on that score.
So how close do you think the project can get to obtaining full restoration?
Well, some of the former upper arms of the estuary are actually housing complexes now, so we cannot do 100%, but because of sea level rise, we don't actually want to excavate out the whole thing out to historic levels because we would lose some of the diversity of habitats. So the sort of the balance between the existing development and sea level rise leads us to probably taking out maybe a half to two thirds of the original fill that was put in moved around, I'd say.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the concerns your team has heard from local residents regarding the project?
We first started approaching them when we were, you know, getting ready to buy it, and we met with homeowners and things, and people were concerned about trails being too close to their homes, even though golf course players had been golfing, you know, right outside their back doors, essentially. There's some concern about mosquitoes, although it's already wetlands and things. So it's actually changing to a less mosquito-ridden type of a habitat from freshwater to salt marsh. And people have the idea that wetlands stink, but actually the kind of wetland that stinks are the kind that are completely anoxic, that don't flush. But we're actually connecting this system to the intermittently tidal Devereaux Slough, so it will flush more naturally than it does now, the way it's currently designed.
How about along the lines of when the heavy machinery is in there, the bulldozers and the earth moving equipment? Is there some concern along those lines?
I mean, I'm sure no one wants to hear beep, beep, beep outside their window, but I guess one benefit is that this is not a housing construction project where you have the grading and then you have a year and a half of hammering and pounding. It's once the grading's done, it's my staff out there digging little holes and planting plants. So I think the actual disturbance outside their window period, you know, maybe 6 months if moving construction equipment or so, but not the same as someone building a housing complex, which was the owner's other alternative if he was going to sell this, is to squeeze in units there.
Yeah, I would imagine having a wetland out your back door as opposed to another housing complex would do well for your home's value.
Yeah, yeah. People living in other open space areas that have had that have definitely seen their property values go up in the long run.
Now, this project will be done in phases, Lisa. The first phase, the rough start date is sometime in August when initial grading and walking trails will be put in.
Right. We will delineate the walking trails, but they won't be open to the public immediately because we have to build bridges over the wetlands and things. So we'll be delineating where they are and grading near the homes so we can plant that sort of buffer area between the homes and the trail as our first phase. And then we'll wait for the rains to come before we excavate in the actual wetland core.
Hopefully, then, fingers crossed that the rains come, right?
Yeah, well, I was thinking, wow, how great. We'll have El Nino this year. We'll really see the, you know, potential. And then next year's got to be dry. But now, I don't know if it's building up to a whammy. Next year, we'll see.
Right. And then after the rains come, that's when the bridge building and more planting gets done.
Right. So 2017, basically late spring, summer will be the major excavating the core of the wetland, installing the bridges and, you know, doing kind of the major work, which will be sort of removed from the homes and things.
How do you choose the plants that will be put in the ground and where do you acquire that many?
So our group manages the CBER, is what we call ourselves. We manage about 200 acres of campus lands and implement restoration projects here. And one of our big focuses is maintaining our local genotypes. So we actually collect all our own seeds within the project area and grow them in our greenhouse, or we have one subcontracting greenhouse that uses our seeds to grow. And we know that they're maintaining that genetic purity that we desire. And then we use combination of the soils and hydrology to determine which plant communities go in which place. The salinity affects in this thing. We have, you know, different sorts of wetlands. Where the storm drains come in, they're more fresh. And then where it integrates in with the core estuary, it'll be more saline. And then where we're putting the soil on the adjacent mesa, so we're excavating the golf course portion. And luckily, we have this 60-acre adjacent area where the soil was taken from to replace it there. And so we'll be restoring that upland mesa with native perennial grassland, which is one of the most challenging habitats to restore because it's just easily invaded by weeds. So you really have to work hard on it. And coastal sage scrub, and we hope to create some vernal pools as well.
In California, how rare is this that we go from a piece of land, a large piece of land that has a commercial purpose, and reverse time and go back to a period where it serves an entirely natural purpose? I can't imagine in California's history that happens a lot.
No, you're right. It's really quite rare, and a lot of these estuaries are filled to be airports, which would be essentially impossible to undo. So we're lucky that this was a recreational use that was not financially viable. But yeah, other areas are generally kind of degraded land that hasn't been developed yet, where they've tried to do these things such as San Dieguito Lagoon and Bayona and things like that, where they're starting to work toward that vision.
Well, yet another natural destination point on the horizon for this Central Coast. I'm looking forward to getting out there and exploring it in the years to come. Lisa Stratton, UCSB Cheadle Center for Biological and Ecological Restoration, Director of Ecosystem Management, on the plans to convert 63 acres of a former golf course there near UCSB into publicly accessible wetlands. Thank you so much for joining us here on Issues and Ideas.
You're welcome. Thanks for talking to me.
And you are listening to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White.